This program is brought to you by Fresh FM.
Hello and welcome. I'm Galen Pound and you're listening to Top Writers. In a few moments, I'll be talking to Bonnie Etherington, whose debut novel, The Earth Cries Out, was published last month. Bonnie Etherington was born in Nelson, spent most of her childhood in West Papua, and currently lives in Chicago. Bonnie was in Nelson last month to promote her recently published debut novel, The Earth Cries Out. Welcome back to Nelson, Bonnie.
Thank you.
After the accidental death of Julia, Ruth's five-year-old sister, Ruth's father, seeking healing and atonement, takes on aid work in a mountain village in Urianjaya. Relocating his family from the relative safety of Nelson, New Zealand, to what seems to Ruth and her mother the middle of nowhere. How did you come to write the book?
Yeah, so at first I wanted to be a New Zealand writer. I wanted to write a New Zealand novel. So I really resisted writing about West Papua at first. I had the character of Ruth in my head, but not much else. But as I kept on writing, I realised what I knew best and what I was most comfortable writing about was about West Papua. So I decided to keep focusing on that, keep writing about that, and it started to flow a lot more easily.
Right, now it's important to point out that it's based on your experiences and is not autobiographical.
Yes, yes. Right.
Now most of us are familiar with Papua New Guinea, but not West Papua. Could you tell us something about the place and the cause of the civil unrest that was happening in the late 1990s whilst you were living there?
Yeah, so if you can imagine the island of New Guinea, the eastern half is Papua New Guinea, which is a sovereign independent nation, but the western half has been occupied by Indonesia since the 1960s. And over the decades, there's been a lot of unrest because of that occupation, but particularly in the 90s, when President Suharto of Indonesia fell from power, there was a lot of unrest across Indonesia, and it came to a head in parts of Papua. So that's why I set the novel at that time. It was a very formative part of my time in Papua as well.
Right, women play a very central role in your novel. And reading it, it's almost like they're in the traditional roles as we see women. Is there such a thing as women's rights in West Papua?
Oh, yeah, I believe so. But I also believe that, like everywhere else in the world, that women can have a really hard time sometimes. In Papua, when you have a society that's experiencing different forms of oppression, I believe women and children are the ones who get it the hardest. And definitely in Papua, with things like HIV, and other health issues, women seem disproportionately affected. Yeah, so that's something that I think quite a lot about. But at the same time, I think those issues are reflected around the world as well. And women are also very highly valued across Papua because, you know, they are often the ones who have become the breadwinners for their families.
Right, grief, guilt, redemption are interwoven themes throughout the book. But there's also a lot of death.
Yeah.
Ruth's friend Susamina,
yeah.
Yeah, death from drinking fly spray. And what seems to be an endless number of deaths from plane crashes.
Mm.
It's almost as if death's an expected and accepted part of life. I mean, it is in every culture.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems more so than, say, here in New Zealand.
Yeah.
Are the attitudes towards death different over there or...?
Yeah, I think so. I grew up thinking about death in quite different ways, and I think you might think about it here. Death is very present and close to you there in Papua, and I think sometimes that's a good thing because you have more of an idea of how to get through those losses. At the same time, that doesn't mean it was easy. It was very difficult. But I remember thinking it was just normal that people I knew would die, and that I witnessed death from a very young age. I thought that was very normal.
And is drinking fly spray normal for women?
In some places in the Highlands, there are problems of suicide epidemics among women, young women, as there are many other parts of the world, and fly spray is one of the ways that they sometimes do that.
What would you personally like to see happen in West Papua?
So I don't believe it's my place to say what should happen in Papua, but I do believe, and I would really like to see people listen to Indigenous Papuans and what they want for their lands and their rights. The history of Papua is very complex, very diverse, can't really boil it down, but if people just listened, at the moment I do not feel like Indigenous Papuans are being listened to. So my book just shows some of the many sides of Papua. It does not speak for Papuans, but I would like people around the world to start listening to Papuans.
Would you like to read a section from your book for us, please?
I'd love to. I'm going to read the opening section to the book. In the beginning, Nelson, New Zealand. Here Julia and I are, down by the creek, below the yellow house, the last summer she is with us. Picking at sandfly bites on our shins, our hair damp and coiled on our necks. Hair cut short like boys, because it's easier for our mother, and our father says it will keep the devil and bad men away. I, 8, and knowing all about what can lurk in the smooth depths, Julia, 5, already wanting to see. Both of us shocking ourselves in the cold, knees hunched to our chests, curling against thoughts of dark bodies of eels slipping down in the darker and darker green. Flat grey rocks in the sun where we lie like chicken thighs bumped together in a pan, burning pink patches on our backs, then jumping into the water to shock ourselves pale again. Warm skin, cool milk in glass bottles, the bees in the weeds.
Thank you. And that's just the beginning of what is a really amazing novel.
Thank you.
And one of the things I really enjoyed about it were the stories related to the plants. What gave you that idea?
Well, first of all, the inspiration was probably my grandfather. He was really involved in the botanical world here in Nelson. He created Gardens of the World out by Hope. So he started in me a love for plants. But then while in Papua, and I really see how the environmental destruction of Papua is very much linked also to people taking away rights from Indigenous peoples, the rights to their lands. So I was trying to think about how they're connected and show a little bit of that in the novel. And that, again, so I put these different sections in the book. I call them plant voices. And by doing that, I'm again trying to show a little bit of the diversity and multiplicity of Papua, how there's not just one Papuan story, there's not just one, you know, Papuan environment, Papuan person. There are so many different stories happening in Papua, and my book can only scrape the surface, or not even that, but hopefully through looking at these different stories going along at the same time as Ruth's story, we can get an idea of that.
And of course, you're at the moment doing your PhD focusing on tropical ecologies in Southeast Asia and Oceania literature.
Yeah. I'm really interested in Indigenous literatures from the 20th and 21st century and how they write about the ocean in particular.
Okay, now where did the title of the book come from?
Yeah, that came late in the game. I had a working title and I knew I was going to have to change it because it was a bit on the nose. So I was racking my brain for a bit and then I saw this Bible verse, Romans 8:22, and the Bible verse is at the front of the book and it says, "We know that everything on the earth cries out with pain, the same as a woman giving birth to a child." And so from that, the title came because I thought it captured the themes of the environment, women, the relationships between women, and the grief and loss that can colour those relationships, as well as the themes of witness and speaking that come throughout the novel. So, yeah, kind of, I was working on trying to get those through in the title.
And the cover for the book, of course, when most people are looking at books, it's the cover that draws attention, and yours is bright red.
Yeah, no, I love the cover. I mean, it was designed by Sarah Healy for Penguin Random House New Zealand, and I love it. I could never have come up with something this good. I think she's done an incredible job. Yeah, when I saw it and they asked me if they liked it, I'm like, definitely. I think it's perfect.
Now, apart from completing your PhD, have you got any other works?
I'm always chipping away at short stories and other short works because I can't help myself.
I'd just like to mention that you were shortlisted for the Catherine Mansfield New Zealand Travel Writer of the Year in
2011,
And also the Commonwealth Short Story Awards.
I was shortlisted for that last year. That was nice. So I keep on chipping away at those things. And I'm also thinking towards a second novel at the moment, early days, but I'll get on to that as soon as I can.
Right, now there is a lot of, how do you put it, there are a lot of older authors that, you know, complaining about not being able to find publishers and deals falling through. Yet here you are at 27. Do you see yourself as a new voice of New Zealand literature?
Oh, I don't know.
A younger voice?
That'd give me a big head, I think. No, I don't know what I see myself as. I'm just very grateful to, I know it's a hard publishing world out there. I'm really grateful to have been picked up by Harriet Allen at Penguin, and I just really appreciate that. I wish I had secrets, but I really just don't. I think I'm just a bit lucky.
Now, you're currently living in Chicago with your husband and your cat. What's a typical day for you?
Oh, yeah. Well, so a lot of my day is taken up with my PhD studies, but they are quite flexible, so I get to do a lot of my work from home, which is nice. I get a lot more work done there. Generally, I wake up a little bit late because my husband usually has the midnight shift, and then I sit down at my desk with my cup of tea, my cat, and
your dressing gown.
Well, no, I have seen that come up a few times, but not anymore. And try not to get distracted by the cat as I try to get some work done. Middle of my day, I don't really achieve that much, so I usually do some reading then when I know my writing's going to go slower, and then I try to do a little bit more in the evening as well.
Now, you've had an interesting life. You've Nelson, Papua, Chicago.
Yeah.
How, I mean, culture shock.
Oh, yeah.
Either way.
There's a lot of culture shock. I feel like I should know how to manage it by now, but I don't. So it's always about just trying to reorientate myself, I suppose. And again, I don't have any secrets for that. I wish I did. But I think writing's been a big part of how I cope. I often feel like an outsider, often feel like I'm just learning things for the first time. And so I observe. And therefore, that comes out in my writing. Writing's the best way I found to cope with it.
And have you been back to Papua since?
Yeah. The last time I was back, it was for Christmas and New Year 2013, 2014, back then. And I hope to go back in the future as well.
Great. Now, I ask all my guests to choose a song. And today you've chosen
Jin Wigmore's Don't Stop. And I chose it because I want to pay it forward to another New Zealand artist. And I met her once in Chicago and she was very nice.
Let's listen to the wonderful Jin Wigmore.
stop doing what you do, being what you be. Don't stop being you. Nah, no, 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 don't stop. No, I can't.
Bonnie, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be here today, and all the best for your future endeavours.
Thank you.
The Earth Cries Out is published by Penguin, recommended retail $37.99, and it is available from all wonderful bookshops. I'm Galen Pound, and you've been listening to Top Writers. We broadcast on a Friday at 11 a.m. and then again on Saturday at 3 p.m. For further information on Top Writers and upcoming events, go to www.topwriters.co.nz.
Thanks to New Zealand On Air for making this program available through funding the Access Internet Radio Project. Cheers, New Zealand On Air.